Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I am Tori.
Yes, you are.
this is true.
Yeah, I'm Puma. We're glad you joined us today. It's just a great day. Another day the Lord has made. We just want to rejoice and be glad in it.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, this is the Puma Podcast. And on this podcast, Puma, what do we talk about?
We talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between.
I knew it.
Yeah, one of those things in between is this word integrity.
Integrity.
Yeah, we've been talking about integrity for the last couple of weeks. And honestly, it's very convicting because integrity, well, it's a nice idea and concept. If I look at myself, it's very hard to live a life of integrity consistently all day long.
Yeah. Well, even too, though, it's the word integrity in our key verse, right? Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright will guide them. And when someone chooses, and our definition is of integrity is doing the God-honoring thing regardless of the cost, to be guided by something means we need to let go of the reins of our life. It invokes humility just by to do the God-honoring thing.
Yeah, integrity, you know, when the proverb says that the integrity of the upright, the what you set your heart on, you know, guides you, you know. And so in Scripture, you know, what are we called to set our heart on? Set our heart on God, to delight in the Lord, you know, to follow Him, to trust Him, to obey Him.
Right.
And so as we try to have an operational definition of integrity, you know, as we look at Scripture, it is, you know, integrity is doing the God-honoring thing, regardless of the cost. Or, as we see today, the consequence.
Yes, right.
Yeah. You see that everything has a cost to it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, while we like the idea of integrity, we're not willing to pay the cost.
Right. Yeah, it can be very expensive. Yeah. And even in our story today, it might be paid with actual life, your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paid with your life. Mm-hmm. So should we jump into that today?
Yeah, let's dive in.
Let's dive in.
Yeah.
Whose life are we going to sacrifice? Yours, mine? I don't know. Who are we talking about today?
Well, let's find out.
Okay.
All right, Puma. So it's not our lives today.
No. Well, you know, every day, you know, I live my life and I am, you know, making choices,
right.
Making choices whether I'm going to honor God with my decisions, with my relationships, with how I spend my money, with how I spend my time, you know, with the words that I use, et cetera. And, you know, even like with this podcast, you know, we desire to do the God-honoring thing.
Yeah,
and exactly. So we very much want to be that kind of a person. We want to be men of integrity. Mm-hmm. And today, so we're looking at probably one of the, honestly, the models of integrity in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked about him a couple weeks ago when he was 15.
Yep.
Anyone want to take a guess at who that person is?
pick me.
Yeah. I see that hand.
It's Daniel. Yeah. Yes. Not David. Yeah,
yeah. It's Daniel.
Yeah, we are in Daniel chapter 6. And like Puma said, this is maybe one of the most popular Old Testament stories. You know, there's a VeggieTales devoted to just this story.
That's right.
And yeah, Daniel in the lion's den. And this, I agree with Puma, this is one of, for me anyway, one of the most convicting examples of integrity. Yeah, this is one of my absolutely favorite stories of integrity because it really highlights not just the cost of doing the God-honoring thing, but it also emphasizes just how God not only can use your integrity, but how that small or big act, if it's in part of God's will, can change the world. And I know last time we talked about, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and, you know, Daniel was their friend. But even like a couple episodes ago, we talked about Daniel in chapter 1, and he was a 15-year-old boy, and Daniel was the one who decided, you know what, I'm not going to eat the king's, you know, choice wine and food, because that would be, again, he made his resolve not to defile himself. He purposed his heart as a teenager.
That was at the age of 15.
Right.
And today we pick up his life, and he's probably a 70-year-old man.
Yeah, 55 years later. Yeah.
And what is amazing to me is the same heart that he had at the age of 15.
Mm.
We see that here in Daniel 6 at the age of 70, yeah. Which leads me to conclude that he lived this life consistently throughout his life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you see that, you know, you got two dots and you draw a line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Scripture really doesn't tell us of Daniel's moral failings in there. Was he a sinful man? Yes, he was a sinful man. But he was a man who set his heart as a teenager to honor the Lord in whatever he did. And that wasn't just a passing whim. That was his character. That was who he was.
Right.
knows right. who he was.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting too, because a lot of people can start well, but how do they end, right? Here we have a 70-year-old man probably who is now, he outlived King Nebuchadnezzar, he outlived Belshazzar, and now he's in the reign of Darius. And Darius, I mean, let's just dive into the chapter, yeah? Chapter 6, we'll kind of dive into this story.
Sure, let's get to the Bible. That's a good
thing. So Daniel 6, or verse 1, Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom, which was giant, into 120 provinces, and he appointed the high officer to rule over each province. The king, verse 2, also chose Daniel and two other administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. So just to pause there, Daniel, who was, you know, a captive from Judah, he was now an old man, he is like the top three who oversee the 120 governors. I mean, that's incredible. And we see later that the king, Daniel proved himself so well, verse 3, and more capable than the others, that the king began to make plans for him to rule over the entire empire. That's fascinating.
That is amazing.
I mean, again, Persia, the Medes, that kind of over, if you want to say, you know, Babylon is now kind of splitting a little bit, but they're a massive, massive country. And we have this Daniel, this once slave and now serves the king for, you know, the past 55 years, is now going to oversee. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, and why would he put someone like Daniel? I mean, what does verse 4 say?
Yeah, well, that's exactly where we're at. So verse 4, the other administrators and high officers begin searching for some faults in the way of Daniel in government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn him. And I love how it continues, for Daniel was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy.
Yeah, you know, when you think about someone who sets their heart on honoring God and living a life of integrity, I'm going to be always faithful, mm-hmm. I'm going to be responsible, and I'm going to be trustworthy.
Yeah.
Now, if you are leading a business, do you want someone that's going to be faithful, responsible, and trustworthy leading your business?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter where you are at. If you have neighbors, do you want neighbors that are going to be like, you know, faithful, responsible, trustworthy.
Right. Your surgeon, right? Your best friend.
Yeah, your banker, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is the kind of people, it doesn't matter how corrupt I am, I want people of this kind of character, say integrity around me, because I know that they're going to always do what's in my best interest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And clearly the king saw that in Daniel. So verse 5, right, these advisors, so they begin to conclude, our only chance in finding grounds for accusing Daniel, it will have to be in connection with the rules of his religion and God. That's interesting. Integrity marked Daniel so much so that, yeah, he was a great, upright man, but the only thing they could blame him was his faith. That stood out the most to them. That was the most contrary to the Babylonians / Medes and Persians. I love that Daniel, his faith and character was marred by his religion.
See, they're not going to fault him for being faithful.
Right.
They're not going to fault him for being responsible. Mm-hmm. They're not going to fault him for being trustworthy, because you can't fault somebody for those things. Mm-hmm. But they did not believe in Yahweh, the God of Israel. Mm-hmm. And so because they differed there, they said, we can find fault there. We know that if we, you know, make something where he has to choose between, you know, this other thing and his God, we know that he is always going to follow his God, that is who he is, which is amazing that they, in fact, they set this whole thing up because he was a man of integrity. Mm-hmm. They counted on him being a man of integrity. They bet their whole stake the fact that Daniel would follow his God and not, you know, give up on his God, which is amazing to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, can somebody do that to me?
Right. Well, yeah, and that's a great point. Like, I hope people, when they look at Tori, like, wow, what's one thing that really just sums up Tori's life? He is devoted to his God. I mean, yeah, that's amazing. That marks someone of integrity.
Yeah, I mean, because he was a man of integrity, that is why this whole account here in Daniel chapter 6 exists. Mm-hmm. Because if Daniel was a compromiser, we wouldn't have Daniel chapter 6.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And if we did, it would definitely not be something we want to be.
Right. It would be an example of what not to do.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, and it's amazing. So I'm going to kind of just kind of go over these verses quickly. So the administrators hatch a plan, right? Like, okay, you know, let's go to King Darius. So they go to, hey, King Darius, live forever. We want to do, have you sign into law the 30 days of Darius. We want to do...
Darius days.
Yeah. Like in the whole nation of the land, we want you to, for the next 30 days, no one can pray to any god, worship any god except you. And they wanted him to sign it with the seal of the Medes and the Persians, meaning it can't be overwritten by no one, not even himself. Now, King Darius is like, well, that sounds pretty good. 30 days to celebrate me and no one else? Okay. And so he signs it. And I love verse 10. Verse 10 is incredible to me, right? So verse 9, King Darius signed the law. Verse 10, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, what did he do? He went home and knelt down, as usual, in his upstairs room with his windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God, to his God. There's so many amazing things about that verse. Verse 10 is just, it blows my mind. You're number one, okay, you just hear a ruling by the king. You directly disobey it. Not only is it you disobey, Daniel knows the consequence, right? When he was a 15-year-old teenager, he didn't want to, you know, defile himself and didn't want to displease or put anything that would make others think that Yahweh was insignificant to the Babylonian gods. He set his heart. But Daniel at 15 didn't know the outcome. He didn't know that Ashpenaz, you know, may or may not like what he said. But Daniel knows the outcome this time. He knows that whoever doesn't obey Darius will be thrown to the lion's den. So not only is it 30 days of you know, worshiping King Darius, but if you don't, you'll be thrown to the lions. Daniel knows that.
He knows that, and his reaction is fascinating to me, too. I mean, I'm getting to the age where I do what a lot of older people do, watch the news, right? So yeah. What we do, you know, you just kind of watch the news, and you watch the news and watch the headlines, and honestly, in the United States, you know, these days, there's a lot of decisions being made and laws, you know, being talked about. And I'll be honest, they cause a reaction to me when I hear, you know, different laws that are just very anti-God, anti-family. And I sometimes I'm just almost flabbergasted. It's like, I can't even believe that that's even being considered. Daniel hears that this new edict has been passed and signed and sealed.
Yeah.
You don't see him complaining. You don't see him going to Darius and saying, Darius, as your advisor, I'm just asking, you know, what's going on here? I mean, not that that would have even been bad, but we see his first reaction is, you know what? I might talk to Darius later about that, but I know that, you know, it's coming noon or whatever the time of the day was, because it says 3 times a day he did this. This was his consistent pattern.
Yeah, that's what he did.
And so he was just going to go do that. And I love his reaction / response to hearing this decree was to go do what he has always done, knowing that there is going to be a cost and consequence attached to it.
Well, and he gives thanks, you know, and that's amazing too. And like, okay, it's one thing, you know, Daniel, if you're going to go hear the news, okay, I guess I'm still going to pray to God, but I'm going to close the windows, right? I don't want to be thrown to lion's den for 30 days. I'll still praise God, but I'll do it in secret. But no, he doesn't. Daniel, almost intentionally, it had to be. He as he always did.
Well, it said, yeah, had windows open, praying toward Jerusalem, right? Because, you know, you got to have the windows open, praying toward Jerusalem, because you know, you're praying toward the place where God has promised his people and promised to bring them back, the place where God said, I will dwell with you and be with you.
Right.
And so they would always have their focus and attention there. You know, so shutting the windows on that, you know, would be almost an act of...
A breach of his integrity.
Breach of his integrity.
Yeah. Well, so it was verse 11. And yeah, these advisors, I mean, goodness, the contrast between Daniel and these advisors. Verse 11, then the officials went together and found him praying and asking God for help. Interesting. So they instantly went straight back to the king and reminded him about his law. Which is, I mean, literal tattletales. You know, it didn't even say they talk to Daniel. They just see him. This group of guys, they go see Daniel praying, and they instantly go back to the king. And they say, you know, hey, king, may you live forever. Darius, didn't you just write an edict for the next 30 days? Anyone who prays to anyone other than you will be thrown into the lion's den? Yes, the king replied. That decision stands. It's an official law by the Medes and the Persians and cannot be revoked. In verse 13, then they told the king, that man Daniel one of the captives from Judah, you know, he is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God three times a day. Even the, it's the slander, right? I mean, these advisors.
The evil and corruption. I mean, here they're advisors to who?
King Darius.
King Darius. So their job is to do what?
To help protect
King Darius. To help protect King Darius. They're doing everything but that. They could care less about the king.
Yeah.
They're not interested in the king. They're not interested in his reputation. They're not interested in him being worshipped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are, in a sense, using the king to accomplish their own ends.
Yeah. Well, and we know that King Darius, at the very least, saw the value of Daniel. Because of verse 14, on hearing this, the king was deeply troubled. And he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of that day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. And it's so interesting because verse 15.
Right. And you know what Darius doesn't do? He doesn't go to all his other advisors and say, hey, you can advise me how to get out of this predicament?
That's true. Yeah. I mean,
he's not going to the very people that are supposed to advise him.
Right.
You know, he seems to be all alone in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And verse 15, in the evening. So all day long, King Darius is trying to find a way to save Daniel. And so in the evening, the administrators and the men go back to the king. They were like, hey, your majesty, you know, according to the law you signed, that this cannot be revoked or changed. So verse 16. So at last the king gave the order for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the lion's den. And I love what the king says because it's so interesting. May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you, Daniel.
See, even the king recognized his integrity of faithfulness to Yahweh. Isn't that amazing?
That is.
Yeah. And yet he still wanted him to be his leader and the leader of leaders because he was faithful, responsible, trustworthy.
Yeah.
And that had something to do with the God that he served.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Darius recognized that. Didn't buy it or believe it, but he recognized there's a connection there.
Yeah. Integrity can be seen whether it's appreciated or not.
Right.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting because verse 17, right? So they bring a stone and they seal it in front of the lion's den. Interesting that they're not just going to toss you in there. They're going to seal it so you can't even get out. Yeah, the king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and of his noble seals so no one could rescue Daniel. And then the king returned to his palace that night and refused his usual entertainment and could not sleep all night. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried and ran to the lion's den. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. And when the king got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you served so faithfully, able to rescue from the lions? And I think we need to pause at verse 20 because, I mean, maybe we know there's the story is pretty popular. We know what happens. But I just wonder, what if verse 21 said, and then, you know, King Darius looked inside the cave and just saw the bones and the blood of Daniel. Would Daniel have won? I mean, what is it about the outcome for Daniel? Was he someone of integrity? Was the win for Daniel surviving? I don't think it was. In fact, I would almost say I know it wasn't because the win for Daniel wasn't the outcome. The win for Daniel was being obedient.
Yeah, it was being faithful to the God who's been faithful to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that regardless of the cost or regardless of the consequence, because that's integrity.
Yes, yeah, and I love that because, yeah, people of integrity, we're not concerned about the outcomes. We're concerned about honoring God regardless.
Is this what God wants me to be doing, even if it doesn't turn out the way I want it to turn out?
Yeah.
Now, the fact that we know the rest, as I say, and the rest of the story, right? The rest of the story, obviously Daniel's alive, and the king is overjoyed, and then he looks at these bad advisors, and he knows that they were just being deceptive and evil.
Right.
And, you know, what's interesting is, you know, he throws them into the lion's den along with their wives and children.
Right?
I mean, when you breach integrity, it not only impacts you, it impacts other people. We know the Proverbs tells us this, that the foolish responses we just don't hurt ourselves, we hurt other people. And so these evil guys, because they lacked integrity, you know, their whole families. But we know the rest of the story, the outcome here was that Daniel was alive and that the king made an edict that people should praise the God of Daniel. You see, the outcome is God's. The faithfulness and obedience is ours. That's our response. You know, so, I mean, and God wants us to be faithful and obedient. God wants us to be people of integrity where we want to do what he desires, because the outcome then is a reflection not of Daniel, a reflection of God. Mm-hmm. You see, we are so focused on the outcomes thinking they're reflections of us, when the outcomes are reflections of God, what God is doing, because we can't control the outcomes.
Right.
You know, we can control our obedience, but we can't control what happens after that.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point too. The outcomes, people of integrity, we're not concerned about the outcomes. We're concerned about honoring God. And I think that's the win. The win is not what God does for us. The win is not surviving. If Daniel had died, verse 21, he would still be the hero because he won, right? The win for Daniel wasn't life. It was, I honored my God. I obeyed my God. And that was true of 15-year-old Daniel and, you know, 70-year-old Daniel.
Yeah, because we see throughout the Bible that sometimes, like here in the book of Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, though they should have died in the fiery furnace, God kept them alive. Daniel should have died in the lion's den, but God kept them alive. You have other people like John the Baptist. He was in prison, and there wasn't any miraculous ending there. He got beheaded.
Yeah.
You have Hebrews 11 that talks about the Old Testament saints. Some had successful outcomes. It says some lived in destitute. Some were sawed in half. Some were stoned to death. And yet, Hebrews 11 says that they were faithful people of integrity. They won. Yeah. You know, what is victory? For Daniel, victory was when he heard the edict, victory for him was going to his room and praying and thanking God. Yeah. And he won. He won the moment he went to his room and opened his windows.
Yeah. And I love that, because sometimes, and this is maybe true of most people, but at least for me, I tend to think if the outcome is good, you know, if there's fruit, if the Sunday school lesson goes well, if people are happy with me, then God's happy with me, then I've won. And that's not true, you know, because if I only serve God because of the outcomes he gives me, well, then I'm not a lover of God. I'm a user. You know, if I only love people because of what they give me, because of the outcome, then again, I'm a user. And I love how Daniel, for him, like you said, the victory, the dub for him was not surviving. It was honoring his God.
You think of like Daniel. When Daniel goes to his room, opens his windows, he is serving King Darius because he's walking in truth and obedience.
That's true.
To God. His advisors are using Darius. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, you know, the choices that we make and the responses to what we get or don't get speak a lot about, you know, our life of integrity. Yeah. You know, what angers us, what excites us, you know, those are indicators, can be indicators of, you know, what's most important to us. You know, do we really desire to honor God, or are we seeking other glory for other things?
That's such a good word. And it's convicting too. And I've heard some people say, well, you know, Daniel actually only survived because the lions weren't hungry. That's not true. No. Verse 24 says that when the advisors and the family got, you know, yeeted into the lion's den, the lions ate them before they touched the ground.
Yeah.
These were starved. They were so hungry. Before they hit the ground, these lions ate them.
Yeah.
Which goes to the power of God.
Yeah.
And God chose to honor Daniel, not because, you know, that was the win, but because I think, honestly, at the end, right, Darius makes a new law, a new decree, that the God of Daniel ought to be worshipped. And anyone who says anything against Daniel's God is going to get in trouble, which is really cool. Again, even the outcome was for God's glory. Daniel happened to be a part of that, and he lived. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the win that he lived.
So what would be a good AQ for today, Tori?
Yeah, a good AQ, honestly, I think is, what is your win? And I know it's kind of vague, but I guess to give that more of some more color, what is your win when you go to work? What is your win when you talk to your friends, your spouse? What is the win when you read your Bible? You know, I think sometimes we focus the win on information or good feelings, and we forget integrity.
Or the response, a positive response from
exactly,
somebody.
Yeah, social status, achievement.
Right.
You know, and the win according to God's word, and even for integrity, if integrity guides you, integrity will guide your win. And so often I confuse Tori's selfish win with is usually with people and some type of social status. It's not even money, although some people can maybe have that be their win. But the win is to honor God, regardless of what happens. So think about it. You know, truly, for me, for you guys listening, what is your win today? What is your win this season of life? You know, does it get married? Is your win to grandkids? Your win to get that promotion? What are you striving for? And, you know, before the podcast, Puma, we talked about how do you highlight your win? You know, I think a good way to what I really cherish and value, how do I react when something is taken away from me? How do I react when I don't get what I want? That reveals the win. That reveals what my heart is truly seeking.
Yeah, or, you know, not just what I, you know, if I react negatively, but what do I get excited about?
Yeah, true.
You know, so it's positive. Because when I don't get my win, I get angry and upset. Mm. And when I do get my win, whatever my perceived win is, I get super excited. So what do I get angry at and what excites me? Can be indicators of what our win is, you know. So am I living a life of integrity, and is integrity honoring God with my life? Is that the win, regardless of the cost or consequence?
Yeah, that's good. Well, thank you, Puma, and thank you guys for joining us. I love this platform because I get to learn and I get to work with my dad, and hopefully you find not just encouragement from us, but from God, from His Word, because the call to be someone of integrity has a cost. You know, there was no guarantee that Daniel would live, but he didn't care because that wasn't the point. And even us being able to have this podcast, I hope that you guys feel a little more empowered to follow God. I hope you guys, your faith is strengthened by this and that the Holy Spirit can help further direct you closer to Himself. So if you have any questions, as always, you can email us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you guys. So yeah, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next Friday at 10:10.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.